We're reading in the book Zohar for All, the introduction to the book of Zohar. It's page 423 in the Hebrew book, the article of Heavens and Earth, item 158. Well, because all of our work is in connection, in connecting the group until we come by that to the form of love and bestowal called Creator. Let us look forward for that book which describes in the complete form of connection between the friends, that it will help us, will shine for us that light from those states that they have attained, the authors have attained, and will also correct us and bring us to that state. So yearning towards that state, that is actually our intention during the reading. Please.
Item 158.
Those who appointees depart and roam throughout the world, then return to their place. They awaken the sons of Cain's sons with the spirit of evil inclinations to make offsprings. They roam throughout the world to harm people, because they cause people to be defiled by the nocturnal emission. This is so because once they make the people of this world sin, they return to their permanent place, which is Arka, where they evoke the sons of Cain's son to make offsprings in their fields. He tells us that besides making the sons of Cain sin in Arka, they also roam our land, universe, making the dwellers of the of this land sin. 159. The heavens that govern there are not as our heavens, and the land does not bear through seed and harvesting such as ours, nor do the seeds grow once more, but only every several years and times. They are the ones of whom it was said, "The gods that have not made the heavens and the earth shall perish from the upper land called universe." They will not govern it, nor roam in it, nor cause people to be filled by nocturnal emission. Hence, they will perish from the earth and from under these heavens, who are made by the name Ele. Commentary. Our heavens receive from Zer Anpin, who is Mochin of begetting. Hence, our land, which receives in his Nukva, receives seed and harvesting. But the heavens of Arka have no mochin of begetting due to the domination of the klipot there. Hence, the land does not bear by them seed and harvesting, such as ours. As there is no power in the land to receive seed and to put forth crop and harvest as it is done in our land. Also, the seeds grow only once every several years and times, since the seed that is planted there grows only once every several years and times. It was said that those two appointees, Aphrinon and Kastimon, are the gods who have not made the heaven and the earth. They could not mend the heaven and the Arka to make them fit for producing fruit. Hence, they have no permission to roam and to make people in our land, universe, sin. While they are here, they damage our land as well, to become like their heaven and earth. They will be lost from the upper land called universe, meaning they will be lost from our land universe, so they will not control it and roam in it, causing people to be defiled by the nocturnal emission. This is so because through their wandering in our universe, they cause people the sin of nocturnal emission, the curse that lies over Arka because of their governance there. Under our heavens, who were made by the name Ele, this is so because our heavens receive from the corrected zone, who were made in the name Ele, as it is written, "In the beginning God created." where me is associated with Ele. Hence, our land too is corrected in the Upper Kedusha, since by that does the world exist. For this reason, those two appointees have no permission to roam here. 160. This verse is a translation so that the upper angels do not think that it is said about them and will not be hostile towards us. Hence, the word Ele is a holy word that is not replaced in the translation, since the whole verse is written in translation, except for the word Ele, as it is written, shall perish from the earth and from under these Ele. Heavens. This word cannot be translated because the connection of Ele in me extends upper Mochin de Chochma. And if the letters Ele are blemished, like Kain, they fall into the Klipot, and even the sanctity of the translation does not remain in them. Thus, there cannot be translation of them, which is Vak de Kedusha.
Please,
questions? Yes.
How can I annul myself
towards the group? During the study, during the reading of the Zohar.
Yes.
How can you nullify yourself during the reading of the Zohar? Towards what?
Towards the group and the friends.
The group.
Ima mitbatelet klopei yeladim.
The mother nullifies towards her children. What do I want to say? Our ego doesn't disturb us. If we start thinking about love, the ego doesn't interfere with me. So I relate to them. In love, the ego actually supports. The main thing is for me to see them as my parts, like the mother, where it doesn't disturb her. She's always thinking about the children. In other words, all we need is for it to be revealed to us that we have connection between us, and then we would really be bestowing to each other. But in this situation, the connection between us would be increasing the ego for us. It would increase the will to receive, and it'll be even more difficult to exit from it. Therefore, we need to depict it without seeing. In other words, we're ready to bestow above our ego. I'm searching for the words. Meaning, I need, despite that in which I feel detachment from the friends, try to depict ourselves together in one system. And in it, the Creator is revealed. This mutual, nice, pleasant connection, Naran Chai, including the Creator. That's what I need to long for. The reading of the Zohar, describes those same corrected states in all 125 degrees. So I, during the time when I read, I'm certainly reading about my corrected state. And I want, from my corrected state, where I am connected to others, and I am full and mingled with the upper light, the feeling of bestowal and love, that's called the upper light, I want it to influence me now, to wash me. We need to long for that state and to understand that that whole concealment where we are not in that state is in order for us to want it. And nothing other than that.
We're moving on to an article, Torah and Prayer. Item 180. So, Torah and Prayer, item
180.
Rabbi Shimon started and said, it is written, and Chizkiyahu turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Come and see how great is the power of the Torah and how superior it is to everything. Anyone who engages in the Torah fears neither upper nor lower and does not fear the evil illnesses in the world because he is clung to the tree of life and learns from it each day. 181.
What does it mean to engage in Torah? As it's written, I created the evil inclination, I created the Torah, a spice. If we yearn for connection to correct the breakage, and we yearn for the light that reforms to influence us and correct us, that's called that we engage in the Torah. When the light that reform comes and corrects inclinations, desires of mine, which are still corrupted, that is called that I perform mitzvot, commandments. The light that comes reforms it. Yes.
This is so because the Torah teaches a person to walk by the path of truth. It teaches him advice how to repent before his master to revoke the sentence. For even if he is sentenced that the sentence will not be revoked, it is immediately cancelled and removed from him, and is not present on a person in this world. For this reason, one must engage in Torah day and night, and never leave it. As it is written, and you shall meditate on it day and night. If one moves away from the Torah or parts from it, it is as though he has parted from the tree of life. Explanation. He began with a prayer in the verse, and Chizkiyahu turned his face to the wall, and interprets it only in the Torah. The thing is that this advice rose to him only by the force of the Torah, by which he obtained arriving at complete repentance until nothing separated between him and the wall, the Holy Divinity. And this is why his prayer was accepted. Hence, the sentence of death that he was sentenced was revoked. This is why he ends that because we see that the power of the Torah is so great as to revoke a death sentence, one should engage in Torah day and night and never part from it.
It's clear, right? What?
Scott from England is asking, what does it mean to engage in Torah? He calls it to meditate on the Torah day and night. What does it mean to engage in Torah?
Meditation.
What does it mean to engage in the Torah day and night?
To engage in Torah means to perform all kinds of actions in order to invite the light that reforms, which is the single force that does everything. Light in general, light that acts on us and constantly progresses us in terms of in due time and evolution, as it's called, in our usual development. If you want to awaken it for correction, you need to bring efforts from your part, which is called raising man, and then that same light will influence you according to the efforts you made in those additional powers you put in, then you attract the light of the Torah. That is called the Torah. And then it corrects you more quickly, without problems, sorrows, quickly to that same state, which is good in the eyes of the Creator and in the eyes of the creation. Yes. No, give him a microphone.
Now, in the two parts of the Zohar, it was hard for me. In the first part, it spoke about harm doings that should be removed away that came to our land, and they should stay in their land. And you constantly try to think about the unity and the connection, but the script draws you towards separation.
Why?
Because it says that there are harm doings that should be elsewhere. This is the script. The more you try to ignore your mind, you cannot. This is what the Zohar told us in the first part. In the second part, he is telling us about nullifying the sentence for himself through the prayer, which is against what we're being taught. Not to think about yourself, not to think about your own benefit. And the story keeps taking you to such points which are seemingly opposite to our corrected state.
The language, you say, distances you from true correct actions. The Torah talks about everything in a way where it's hard for me to constantly be focused properly to correction. Firstly, it doesn't even tell me about the group, connection, love. It's written, love thy neighbor as thyself. It's a great rule in the Torah. It's in one of the books, by the way, right? And it's not written in every place. It's not written in every single mitzvah. Love thy neighbor as thyself.
I am the Lord.
I am the Lord. And then you do the kashrut. The damages, etc. No, it doesn't say that. But it's written in some place over there. And they teach that a little bit to the children when they start learning at school. And you're right. We still learn the Torah of exile. Which speaks about customs. About mitzvot. Practical mitzvot in our world where we carry them out, and they're called customs. That's how Rabash called them. And intentions are not taught. They're not taught. But a person needs to be
Innocent with your God.
They don't teach that. Because that wasn't, and it was forbidden to teach that during the exile. Meaning, they would teach it in an external way. We just need to understand, throughout the whole history of ours, there were Kabbalists and wise men, sages, and they were leading the people, but they were forbidden to approach the people and teach them how to exit the exile before the exile finished. It's forbidden. You need, just like in Egypt, Baal HaSulam says, 400 years we needed to be there because we weren't there for 400 years, but only for 210 years. Where are the other 190 years? Then that divides to all the other exiles. It's the same thing here.
It's
another question from Yaakov, who wanted to know about Ketz. You know about that. He wanted to reveal the Ketz to his
the end.
It's forbidden to reveal the end, the Ketz. And Avraham didn't know the 400 years, exile, etc. And Yaakov and his sons, etc., etc. Throughout the generations, it's given that way where a person shouldn't, don't put an obstacle before a blind man, don't give him more than he needs, act at home the way you need, with the public, what they need, prayers, Torah, Torah of landlords, and that's it. Why? Read a page of Gemara. That's it. That's exile. The Torah of exile. Therefore, it's written about the learning of the Gemara in a very spicy way that Ramchal wrote about that in Shara Agdamot, in the gates of introductions, where we need to stop learning it in that way. The person wrote, and it's written that way in internality. It's the very holy writings. But the way that they interpret it, it's finished. We just need to learn the Torah of redemption, which is the wisdom of Kabbalah. Therefore, you see how much it's difficult for us. We engage in that for many years. And as much as we do all kinds of actions and go around it until it starts becoming clarified within us, emotionally, internally, the correct discernment where other than connection in the group and the revelation of the correct form of correction, which is called the Creator, the person has nothing. And other than that, everything the person does other than that is called alien work. Everything other than that. Because even if he doesn't do necessity, if he doesn't do the connection for connection solely, then it's also called alien work. That's how one needs to relate to life. And that is already called an approach of exile towards redemption. Add the Aleph in the word, and it becomes from Gelut to Geula, from exile to redemption. We, the first generation of the redemption, you see how difficult it is for us to reach that, to start opening that, revealing that. Really, it's impossible.
Yes. The language of the Torah of redemption, the Zohar, it's not that it's very new, it's a bit familiar by now. But according to your words, it is new to us. And my question was, well, how should we study the Zohar? You keep guiding us to work on our intention, connection, to think about the friends, to draw the light. And actually, the question came from the manner of the study itself, because seemingly the Zohar, well, at least today, in the two parts we read, it leads towards the other direction, towards the separation between the harm doers, between two lands.
Believe me, I don't remember what we read. I don't remember.
I remember.
Okay, so you have a good memory. What can I do about that?
And what we read in the last part also, it was about mitigating the sentences.
Where
the
was that?
Last part we read.
Where Rabbi Shimon opened.
It doesn't matter. Wherever you open it up, you can see that. We're here.
And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. Now, you have many interpretations to that. You know, that's a very well-known excerpt.
Yeah. And Zohar presents that this is mitigating the sentences. Even if it was sentenced, the decree won't be decreed. It won't be canceled.
Yes, yes.
It does.
Well.
So this is thinking about yourself.
Okay, here's the point, that the Torah aims at a person, and the person needs to aim himself to enter the society and connect so in order to reveal the force of bestowal and love called the Creator. The Torah turns to you. It doesn't turn to the public. It turns personally to the heart of the person.
In this part, are we talking about Chizkiyahu or about a complete person?
That doesn't matter. Chizkiyahu, in and of itself, that's a big... There's a whole business there. But what's written is written for me. But what do I need to do? I need to incorporate with the group in order to find mutual bestowal, mutual love, call to the Creator. That's how, through the group, the whole world will join that group. And that's why it's written that the world was created for me. Why for me? So that I will incorporate in them, that I will serve them. Meaning, I will reveal the whole quality of bestowal and love that I can, from myself, reveal.
There's something I can do about the plot in order to... let's say there's a certain plot here. According to my mind, it brought me... It caused a problem in me thinking about the unity because I saw him...
Who prays for oneself? There is no such thing in the Torah as that. There is no direction in thought within, aiming inwardly. This just shows one of the forms of the alien forces. In order to exemplify for you, to demonstrate for you those forms. Where have you seen in the Torah that someone turns to himself? And even the corrections where we speak about the great Kohens, the great priests, where yesterday in the weekly Torah portion we spoke about it, where those great priests were the choir and then die on the day of Yom Kippurim. These are scrutinies. It's all sanctity. It's all holiness. Kedusha. It's all written about a person who is spirituality, and it's written about his degree, or all the previous degrees, where he wants to scrutinize them for others. How can it write to you something which is aimed at the person? He's not in that. You won't find a single word, neither in the Mishnah, nor in the Torah, nor in the Gemara, nor in the Pentateuch, and certainly not in the books of Kabbalah. In no place you will find something that speaks about a person alone for himself. There is no such thing. And King David, who writes, he writes about Malchut. There's no such thing, because they're speaking from within the connection. Otherwise, it's not called Kodesh, holiness. That is called the opinion of the Torah is opposite to the opinion of landlords. On that point, to invert it and start thinking about everything through the kli, the vessel, meaning through the connection, through the quality of bestowal. That point is the most important point, and that's what we need to constantly work on. And that's why I said that a few years went by, and we are always on that point, and it's difficult for us to progress inwardly. We are the first generation of redemption. After us, it'll be easier. We'll make it easier for them.
Can it be said that the study of the Zohar corrects our perception of reality?
The perception of the approach. Let's go to the next part of the lesson.
Moving on to the next part of the lesson.